Hello, sports fans, and welcome to the 411 Sports World Podcast, where we give you the real sports talk. I'm your host, Mr. 411, and as always, I'm accompanied by the panel, Lacey, Dawson, and Zach.
Greetings.
Go Dawgs. Well, on this day, there's a lot of news in the sports world, and we can't wait to cover it. And we're going to discuss today on the show Chris Carter's comment. We want to give you all preseason solutions. We're going to discuss two young quarterbacks, two rookies, Jameis Winston and Mariota. But first, today, Michael Vick, he signs a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's an interesting note. It may not be the Vick of old, however, Michael Vick is a popular player in the NFL, and it's intriguing that he was able to land with a winning franchise in Pittsburgh, winning organization. So, Lacey, what are your thoughts about Michael Vick signing the one-year deal today?
Well, as a Jets fan, I don't have anything against Michael Vick. I just don't know how much he can bring to the table, you know, for Pittsburgh. He wasn't able to really bring much to the Jets, and there are other reasons for that. I have nothing against Michael Vick personally. I actually like the young man. I think he's done a good job of turning his life around, at least of keeping if he's up to any nonsense, he's keeping it out of the headlines. So
right.
That is a very positive thing, and I certainly have no problem with a young man trying to work, trying to pay some bills. But I'm just really curious as to why Pittsburgh, you know, went in this direction. It seems strange to me for Pittsburgh to go in this direction, just because, you know, he's older. You know, clearly he doesn't have a lot of time left. You know, his clock is definitely ticking, and so he's definitely not the future. And if Big Ben goes down for whatever reason, he'd have to step in, or maybe they're just bringing him in to look over the little young pup they have there. What's his name? Landry Jones, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at Michael Vick for getting a job. Good for him, but I don't see a whole lot of what he's bringing to the table in Pittsburgh. But you know, Pittsburgh, they got a smart organization. So if they feel like he'll fit in with what they're doing, then I'll just wait and see. I believe it.
Okay. So you think it's a positive move by Pittsburgh?
I think it's positive for Michael Vick. I don't really necessarily see a whole lot of upside to this for Pittsburgh, but apparently they do. So I am certainly not the person to judge that, but I'm only speaking of it from Michael Vick's standpoint. Back in Pennsylvania, I don't know how great that is. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Was that what are your thoughts of the signing today?
You want to talk about your guy first before I talk about him? Because it's probably not going to be too positive what I had to say.
Ooh.
Good. What are your thoughts?
That's intriguing.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't get it anymore. Well, and honestly, I shouldn't say anymore because I stopped getting it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this Michael Vick phenomenon or whatever is, but I don't know what the list would be, but he's got to be one of the most overrated guys, not just in football, but in sports ever, because Atlanta fans swear by this dude, yet he only took Atlanta to the playoffs twice. Matt Ryan is a much better quarterback for Atlanta than Michael Vick has ever been, and Matt Ryan doesn't get anything but a hard times for the fans, and Vic, they want to build a statue for. The dude has a career playoff record of 2-3. That's career playoff. I mean, 5 playoff games is what he's led a team to. 5. 5 whole games.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. Add to that that this guy, and you know this is going to sound bad, and I don't care, but he's got to be one of the dumbest quarterbacks to ever play the position. And I'm sure there's some that's dumber, but he can't read a defense. I don't care what anyone says. Now, when I say can't read a defense, that doesn't mean that he actually can't go out there and read a defense. Because, yes, he can read a defense, but when you're grading him on a – well, I got to explain it for the people that won't get it, kind of like you, on an NFL curve, when you are comparing him to NFL quarterbacks of what the standard for NFL quarterback is, he can't read a defense. He almost never picks up the blitz. Because you get hit by some blindside blitz where it has no feel, can't see when the blitzer is coming, doesn't know how to get to the hot read. And 2 or 3 times in his career, he has said, hey, I haven't studied my playbook enough, or I haven't taken being a quarterback seriously enough. And I'll just go ahead and once again disqualify myself to the degree. I'm a Warren Moon fan. So I grew up as a fan of Warren Moon. I grew up a fan of a guy that had to work to be a quarterback because they didn't think black quarterbacks were smart enough to be a quarterback in the NFL. And it disturbs me when a guy like Michael Vick that gets an opportunity to be a quarterback, be a CEO or whatever for an organization, face of a franchise, you got the owner pushing you around. And he hasn't taken this advantage or taken advantage of this position. And then now, he gets a chance once again, and I don't see what he does for Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe Mike Tomlin is a Michael Vick fan, which could be because, as I said, it's a whole bunch of people that are Michael Vick fans. Everybody wants to give this guy a freaking chance or whatever because they like him. And I'm not even holding the dog fighting thing against him. He's just not good and doesn't deserve a job. He should be doing something else besides playing quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
He's getting the opportunity, and he's getting it, but he can't, if you put him up on a chalkboard, I don't believe that he could explain anything to anybody. So how's it going to help Big Ben, which he can't, but how's it going to help the quarterback behind him or whatever? And at this point, if Michael Vick has to go in and play a game for you, you should be scared because he's going to get himself injured. So I don't get the Michael Vick phenomenon. As I said, Atlanta fans swear by this dude that he was so great, and they talk about, oh, he went to Green Bay, and he won in Green Bay, and he did this 2-3 playoff record. That's what you get from Michael Vick. They're going to talk about his 2 weapons that he had when he was in Atlanta, and he rushed for 1,000 yards, and he didn't have this, but Roddy Wright wasn't that good of a wide receiver when Michael Vick was a quarterback. Matt Ryan comes along, he's a pretty good receiver. And people would argue that, but it's the same thing with Tebow. Those receivers weren't too good in Denver when Tebow was the QB. Peyton Manning comes in, they look like NFL guys. So I've talked about Michael Vick too much. You know, all you Atlanta fans, whatever. Michael Vick is most overrated guy in sports, so he's up there. So there you go, Mr. 411. I'll let you talk about it now.
Okay, well,
oh, I'm sorry, one more thing. As a Baltimore fan, I can only hope that he ends up starting a few games for Pittsburgh. Now you can take over.
Okay, well, that was very enlightening comments that you made about Michael Vick. And I'm actually glad that you made those comments because this topic is based on today, Michael Vick signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, if you look at the Steelers roster, as far as their quarterbacks, and Lacey mentioned these names earlier, but Gronkowski and Landry Jones, and they're both injured. So, if you're signing Michael Vick, as a backup and possibly the third string backup position, why would anyone want to question the Pittsburgh Steelers' decision in doing that? Like, how can that be such a bad thing?
Get somebody that you can develop. This guy, it's got to be some rookie or somebody in there that you can develop.
We just mentioned Landry Jones. He's injured.
Well, he's on the team, but Jason Campbell was available. Is he not a better option?
Maybe not. So if that's the case, maybe they would have signed Campbell, or some other team would have signed Campbell. You know, my thing is, and I'm not saying that Mike Vick is anywhere near what he once was or anything like that. But if you're going to sign him as your third, can I finish first? Can I finish my statement first?
Yeah.
Because I allowed you to make your 10-minute statement, so it's my turn.
I just want you to tell them who your favorite football player is.
Okay. Well, you already let them know who's not your favorite football player. So now. Vic is one of my favorite football players. There's Steve Largent. I'm also a Warren Moon fan. Deion Sanders, Michael Vick. Those are the name, you know, a short list of guys that I like in the NFL or have followed in the NFL. But if you listen to what I'm saying, as a third string quarterback, is what I said, for somebody who's a fan of Vic, what is the negative thing that can come out of that situation? So basically, for those who don't like this signing, are you questioning the intelligence of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization? Are you saying that they, you know, didn't look at their situation and say, hey, we have two injured quarterbacks on our roster? It's not like they signed Vic when the season started or in the offseason. They're in a situation where they have two injured backups. So now they bring him in for a 1-year deal. Is there a guarantee that Vic will be around? Probably not. But in the meantime, at least there's a veteran quarterback that's a backup. Big Ben is probably not coming out of the lineup anyway. So, you know, you just have Vic there as a, you know, just as a stopgap. So I think it's like there's no big risk in doing this. So I think it's an excellent signing by Pittsburgh. And for Vic, I think it's a great situation for him where he's not really going to play, but he gets a job, he's in a winning organization, he has an opportunity to be on a roster that has a chance to play in the Super Bowl. So I think it's a win-win for both sides here. If Vic doesn't pan out, they can let him go. They have Landry Jones and Gronkowski, so when those guys come back healthy, they have their backups. So I really don't see how it can go wrong.
It goes wrong if Big Ben actually gets hurt. That's how it goes wrong. But in the meantime, you know, other than that, they're fine.
Yeah, but if he gets hurt, I mean, who's to say that Landry Jones was going to be the answer? Who's to say that Gronkowski is the answer? And right now, neither one of those guys can be in the questions because they're injured. So I think it's a solid signing. And I think it's smart by Vic to sit back and wait his time out because, of course, you know, the Jet situation came up with Geno getting knocked in the jaw. And from my understanding there, Rex Ryan, he flirted with the fact, with the point of bringing Vic back. But he did mention something, and I will say this. Rex had a concern about Vic playing in bad weather. And we know in Buffalo, it's going to be bad weather from the jump. And Pittsburgh is going to be bad weather at some point in time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point in time, yes, the weather's going to be bad there as well. However, the probability of Vic playing in Buffalo was probably much higher than it is Vic playing in Pittsburgh.
Buffalo's got three quarterbacks vying for vying for it. So that's not really true.
Yeah.
Name the three quarterbacks that are vying for that position.
AJ Manuel, Matt Castle, and Tyrod Taylor.
Okay,
they're
world beaters, and they're world beaters. If we did a poll on those three names right there, they definitely will not be in the top 25 of NFL quarterbacks. So that means that there's the point is there's a stronger possibility of Vic playing there than it actually playing in Pittsburgh.
That
was what I was saying. The ship has sailed on Michael Vick. You already know what Michael Vick is and what he's going to be. He is what he is. He is not an elite. He is not a...
So what are the quarterbacks in Buffalo? Tell me that they're elite. Tell me that they are elite.
They're not, but they're young and they're up and coming.
Tell me that they are elite.
The problem is Michael Vick is not Carson Palmer. That's
nobody said it was. Nobody said he was.
He's in the same, a similar situation.
Vic doesn't have potential anymore. There's no upside to Vic. E.J. Manuel, he has upside. Tyrod, he has upside. Matt Castle can at least see the blitz coming and get rid of the ball.
You tell me this. Is Vic probability to play in a quarterback competition, does he have a better chance versus the three names you mentioned in Buffalo or going up against Big Ben and taking Big Ben's job?
He doesn't have any chance of doing either thing.
Exactly.
No, the question is, which is the higher probability?
Both of them are probability of zero. There's no
That's
higher.
Not true.
That's absolutely true. He's
That's
not getting
not
a job over
I,
those three guys in Buffalo.
I would go with that, too. I can't say
that you're being biased at this point.
I'm not biased.
Okay.
Yes, you are. You're both biased about that.
Why do you think I'm biased? Because I don't agree with you.
Yeah, your question is...
No, I'm saying you're biased because you said that there's no probability.
There isn't.
That's not true.
I thought it's absolutely true. Well, he would be there.
Exactly.
Okay.
They had a chance to get him, and they They know he can't start.
You're not hearing the question. I'm asking you the question.
Right.
We've
answered the question.
You didn't give a straight answer, but that's okay.
Yes, we did.
What was the possibility?
I said both possibilities are zero, so there's no number. Neither one of those is higher or lower than the other. Zero.
Okay, that's your answer.
That is my answer.
It's my answer, too. Beyonce ain't showing up my doorstep. I know that. The possibility that is zero. You could do the thing that nothing is impossible, but the possibility is zero.
So you're smarter than Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
We'll see.
Is that what you're saying?
Tomlin in Pittsburgh doesn't mean he's always right.
Is that what you're saying?
You're saying that they shouldn't sign him.
They shouldn't sign him as a third string quarterback.
I didn't say they shouldn't sign
because
him.
Because they have two injured quarterbacks.
This is a great deal for Michael Vick. I don't know what Pittsburgh's getting out of it. That's what I said. And
you know what I'm saying?
And that's what it sounds like.
And guess what I'm saying? Absolutely, they should not have signed Michael Vick. They could have got someone else besides him because he can't play quarterback at the NFL level.
Who should they get? Who's the backup quarterback for Matt Ryan?
What is the point of this conversation? What are you trying to get at, Tyrone? I understand that you love Michael Vick and Zach doesn't. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care one way or another. I'm a Jets fan. Michael Vick didn't do a whole lot for us, but I liked him. I still like him. I just think that he's past his prime, and this is probably his last hurrah. I would like to see him get in there if he has to get in there and do well. I would like to see that. I think he's. Hopefully he'll work harder. And get something done if he can. But, I mean, I'm not against Michael Vick just to be against him. I just think he's past his prime.
What I said was, what is wrong with him being a third-string quarterback?
It serves no purpose. That's my point. If you're going to bring a guy in, bring in someone that you can develop. Bring in some, as you said, Big Ben's not going to get hurt most likely. So if that's the case, there's probably some undrafted free agents out there that you can get that, hey, you could give a shot to.
So why do you think? Now I'm not saying you already stated where you stand on that. But my question to you now is, what do you think Tomlin and the Steelers organization was thinking when they talked to Vic and made this signing? What do you think?
How do we know?
If you're asking me my opinion,
I'm asking what do you think? What do you think they were thinking?
Tomlin is from the Virginia area, just like Michael Vick. And as I said, people like Michael Vick, especially black people. I think he's doing Michael Vick a solid. That's not unheard of. They do that business all the time.
Yeah.
A saying is, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But you're going to tell me some of these young quarterbacks that just came out of the college or somebody that's 1 year removed from college might not have more upside than Michael Vick? Vick has no upside. And as soon as he gets hit, he goes down. And he's proven he can't read a playbook. His last good season was what, the 2010 in Philadelphia, and that was it? And then he lost his job to Nick Foles the following season or what was it, whenever it was after that? So, I mean, okay, people like Mike Vick.
So you don't think they should take a – so you don't say – you don't think that there's a – like there's no risk at, you know, making this move here?
I don't see the benefit for Pittsburgh. I see the benefit for Michael Vick. No benefit for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you love him. Good. But
I'm a Ravens fan. Look, I'm a Ravens fan. I hope he plays.
I hope he plays well.
Because if he plays, we win the division easy if he plays. Or Pittsburgh will be a non-factor. It won't even be a question.
Well, the Ravens are going to win 12 games anyway, right?
You say what?
Because the Ravens are going to win 12 games anyway, right?
Yep.
Because you're on record saying that. So it doesn't matter who plays. If Joe Montana could play for the Cleveland Browns.
How are you going to have the Ravens going 12-4 and Seattle only going 11-5? I meant to ask you that yesterday.
They got two different.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to figure out your reason.
And that is. So, moving on. To the next subject. Winston versus Mariota.
We can move on. We wasted too much time.
James Winston versus Mariota. Zach, we'll start off with you. Winston had a solid game last night versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a questionable outing in his first preseason game matchup versus Minnesota Vikings, Mariota, similar pattern. But there's been a lot of buzz about the two quarterbacks, and both organizations feel like they have their quarterbacks of the future. Do you agree with both organizations?
That they have their quarterback of the future?
Yes.
And are we doing this based off of preseason right now, or is this based off the draft? What are we basing this off?
This is based off of Zach. This is based off of Zach's projections.
Well, you don't know. I mean, the simple fact is organizations do a terrible job drafting quarterbacks. I mean, all you got to do is look at it. For every quarterback that goes out there and may end up successful, like a Peyton Manning, you probably got three or four guys that end up bust, just like the process for getting a quarterback. Well, Teddy Bridgewater has a poor pro day. Johnny Manziel does his pro day with music blaring, and he's got on a shoulder pads or whatever. Cleveland takes Johnny Manziel ahead of Bridgewater. Bridgewater goes to Minnesota, and even Blake Bortles goes number three. But to start the year, and I think even coming out of the start of the year, when the season ended, going into the combine and everything, Bridgewater was supposed to be the number one quarterback. No games have been played, and he is up three. And look at who's better now. Bridgewater. Bridgewater looks way better than those guys. And it's not just because he went to the Minnesota Vikings, because he was without his the best offensive player on the team last year. And he still looked good. He looks like he understands the NFL better. Teams don't know what the hell they're doing. But it's a crapshoot. I mean, for real, it's a crapshoot. Because Jameis Winston played at Florida State, and he looked good at Florida State. I had this
debate. Yeah, he did.
I had this debate with someone earlier, and he was like, "Oh, he went 27-1 or whatever his record was. He only lost one game, right?" But what you got to remember is that he played at Florida State. He was playing with, you know, 5- and 4-star guys that were elite guys, and most of the times when Florida State was taking the field, especially when he was there, they were better than the teams across from them. So it's not like he was going in and he was on a bad team and he had to uplift them. He got to be who he was, and he had great talent around him. Kind of same thing with Manziel at A&M. I think A&M has had 2 offensive linemen drafted in the first round, and then I think a guy drafted in the second round this year. Then Mike Evans went in the first round. They had a lot of offensive talent that was taken to the NFL, and yet Manziel got credit for it. Even though you can look at Manziel, he's under 6 feet, which it ain't a whole lot of QBs in the NFL that have success under 6 feet. It's his arm is weak, and then when you look at games that he had against Florida and LSU, when he was actually going up against a, as you would say, kind of defenses and secondaries that had pro players in it, he struggled. So I can't tell you what to think about Mariota and Winston because I don't know. I like to tell you that Winston is going to be a good pro, but it's just hard to tell. I mean, even with preseason, him and Mariota, it was all this hubbub about, oh, they're doing so great in practice, and he's great on the chalkboard and all this stuff. And our buddy Rob, you don't know Rob Lacey, but Rob is a Florida State guy. He loves Winston, and he's always been on the field. I don't see this guy that is just looking at the defense and dissecting the defense, and he just has this Peyton Manning razor-sharp mind, and he knows where to go with the ball. He looks like a rookie. And the same thing with Mariota. Mariota wasn't supposed to be throwing any interceptions in the practice and all this stuff. And his first preseason game, I think the second or third play of the game, he throws an interception. So it's just going to take time to tell. These guys will have to play that out on the field. I would like to see both of these guys sit for a year or at least half of the season, 3/4 of the season, and come in and get a feel for the game, because I think the general rule is you're supposed to get 36 starts in college to kind of translate to be a successful pro coach. And I don't know if either one of these guys got 36 starts. Mariota might have. I know Jameis Winston didn't. So I'm not sure, man. Come check back with me, maybe. I mean, even if we could watch this whole rookie year right here, and I wouldn't be able to tell you, because Rick Meyer from the Seattle Seahawks back in the day was pretty good his rookie year, and then he faded out. Cam Newton had a pretty good rookie year, and Cam doesn't look so great. Same thing with RG3. So, I mean, a lot of times this is a 4 or 5 year process. It just doesn't happen overnight. So I'm going to go incomplete right now on both of those teams' grades for getting a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey?
Well, it's no secret that I don't really follow college football. I'm learning, but I haven't followed it to date. But I know who these guys are. And the only way that I can compare them is just comparing them based on the teams that they're playing for. I think that the two teams, it's kind of hard to find a whole lot of positives for Tennessee. You know they've struggled all over. They've been really bad. Their defense is still going to be pretty bad, and so you know they're gonna have to play from behind. They're gonna be throwing the ball a lot, and so he's gonna get that opportunity. And when you're talking about turnovers and interceptions, his numbers are going to be high because, you know, there's no run game to speak of in Tennessee. I mean, they may be establishing one, but they're not there yet. So
he's
going to have a rough time in the NFL. That's just my prediction based on the fact that he plays for Tennessee. The only good news there is that AFC South division is terrible. They're playing the NFC South, which is for the most part terrible. The AFC East is going to be tougher, but you know he's going to he's going to spend a lot of time on his back, so and running for his life. So you know how he's going to do. You know, I don't think he's going to do well because I don't think Tennessee is going to do well. When it comes to Winston, he's in a slightly better situation just based on the team that he's going to play for. You know, that he's got a pretty good coach. I hope that their cooler heads will prevail. I think he's got some good weapons. He's got a running game. That helps. You know, it's not a great running game, but it has the potential to be okay. He's another weak division. And he's also playing the AFC South, so they will. I think Zach, you pointed that out. Their kind of Super Bowl will be when they play each other, and you know that game I'm sure will be you know watched by everybody. But you know that they both have gone to struggling teams, which is the way that works. And I think that Jameis Winston is actually in a better situation, just based on Tampa Bay being better than Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But they both are pretty terrible. But Tampa Bay has the better coach, and they have the better run game. So I think that he will be in a position to be a little more successful than Mariota is as far as that. And that's all I can base that on, since I don't know much about either one of them. You can't really make anything with generalizations based on the preseason. This is not the real deal. You know, there's a difference when you're facing the third string as opposed to the first string. You're not really seeing a lot of that. I don't think they're seeing any of that, so or very little. So I can't base it on anything other than the teams that they play for. Although when I look back over my projections for both of those teams, I projected them to both have a record of 3-13. So there you go. What say you?
There you go.
411.
Well, I say this. I'm going to go ahead and step out there on the limb. And I think it's more, it's not necessarily a limb. I think it's more of a branch. I'm going to step out on the tree branch here and say that Tampa Bay and Tennessee have actually drafted their quarterback. And both of these quarterbacks, barring injury, both of these quarterbacks should be the starter for their respective franchises for the next 8 to 10 seasons.
You don't say barring injuries. I mean, injuries are part of the game.
Yeah, well, for example, Jake Locker, he was a Tennessee quarterback, and he may have been around a lot longer if it wasn't for the injuries. So that's why I say the injuries. So if they're injured to the point where they can't perform, then obviously, then they can't play.
Well, when your line can't protect you, Mariota's going to have to deal with that. So barring injuries.
I think it's more
likely than not that he's going to be injured.
Well, I think that they have solid coaches. Both teams have solid veteran coaches. And both franchises understand that it's not going to be an overnight success, going from zero to the Super Bowl. So they're going to stick with these guys. And what I like about Mariota so far, and this is a very small sample, but he seems to be a mobile playmaker type quarterback, and it looks like they're going to tailor the system towards his talents. Now, that doesn't mean he's a quarterback, but if he can start for them for the next 8 seasons, then I think they got their got their money's worth out of that investment. You are absolutely right, Lacey, that you were definitely right about. With Tennessee, he's going to have a tough time because of the roster. There's two things that I like about it is that they do have some solid receivers, and with his mobility, maybe they will keep Mariota out of trouble a little bit. But it'll be a process. But as far as Winston, I definitely see Winston as a poor man. Now, hold on to your seatbelt, but a poor man through luck. Not saying he's going to be at that elite status that
well,
Luck is already
Andrew
at
Luck,
now.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Well, poor man version. You know, like Michael Jordan, and then there's Dominique Wilkins. You know, that's not bad to be Dominique Wilkins. So I see, because and things that I just see with him, and so far, that A, he's not afraid to stay in that pocket and make throws. And he's actually going through his progressions in the passing game. And he also, which is similar to Luck, if you watch them rumble down the field at times, they tend to run at the right time, you know, whether it's like to get that first down or to get in that end zone. And I just like his fire. He's definitely a quarterback that seems like he's already gained respect of his team, of the veteran teammates that he has. And just like you was mentioning about Tennessee having not quite the roster yet, even though Tampa Bay is not loaded, they do have key players and key positions to help him, you know, move along in his career right now with Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson at receiver, and then a veteran running back in the hamster Martin, Doug mm-hmm. Martin. So I see Winston having
he
a solid career. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I definitely see Winston having a solid career, and of course we all are projecting off of this, and you know that's what the show's about. Sometimes we got to step out there and make these bold predictions, but this was all based off of, what, two preseason games? And speaking of the preseason, let's talk about
NFL. Just a second. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention, you know, kind of to wrap that up. It still remains to be seen for both Winston and Mariota. So Winston in particular is like, you know, you come from these college teams that are so good. You just
mm-hmm.
don't spend a whole lot of time getting hit. These guys are going to get hit by grown-ass men that want to do them some damage, and it remains to be seen how well they handle that. So,
absolutely.
I just wanted to point that out because that's one of the biggest differences in coming from college and coming from these teams that are, you know, that are just so good, and you know they're 27-1, you know they you know it's not like that in the pros. So we'll have to see. You know, either one of them could be the quarterback of the future, but you're gonna have to learn how to take some hits. And so let's wait and see how they do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even the great Peyton Manning threw what, 28 interceptions in his rookie season. So you know, they're all gonna have growing pains. You're absolutely right, Lacey, mm-hmm. on that. And again, these guys, you know, small sample preseason. And speaking of preseason, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of talk in the sports world about the NFL preseason. This has been going on for you know, this has been a conversation for years. And each time August rolls around, we have these discussions. But, Lacey, what are your thoughts on the preseason? Do you think that the NFL preseason is too long, too short? What are your pros and cons of just the preseason? Because we do have injuries and we have other things that are going on as well, evaluations. But let the fans know what you think about NFL preseason football.
Who are you talking to? Me or Zach?
Lacey.
Oh, okay. Well, Lacey. Okay. I can start it off. You know, these discussions about the preseason, I'm not quite sure who keeps bringing it up. You know, who benefits the most from a shorter preseason. I'm just asking that kind of because I'm trying to figure out, you
okay.
know, what the big deal is here. Who's going to benefit from a shorter preseason?
From a shorter preseason.
Yes. Who benefits from that? I mean, do the players benefit? Because all of these people that are trying to make the team and all of these people that are coming back out of the camps, you know, they need this. I think that they need this time to kind of shake off the rust and get used to playing together. Some of them, a lot of them are going to be new players. Even the old
mm-hmm.
players coming back, they need that time to make adjustments, to get back into the swing of things. They need it.
Right.
But this question keeps coming back. So if they, I don't know that they are the ones that want a shorter preseason, because they know, you know, you got to get ready for the regular season.
Right.
Is the problem that there's not enough money being made in the preseason because the fans are not paying big money to see them? Is the problem that if you push the season back, you know, then the owners can make more money because they can charge you more? Are they going to add some games to the schedule? I just don't understand who's going to benefit the most. I understand that people get hurt in the preseason. Don't get me wrong. That is a concern. But the person who gets hurt, if you change the preseason to only be in two games, you still could get hurt in the preseason. If you do away with it altogether, you can get hurt in the first game. I mean, there's going to be injuries. There's no getting around that.
Right.
What is the big deal about – I'm sorry, don't know. I know that there are people that are trying to make the team that have not made the team. If they get injured in the preseason, I'm not sure how that works. They must get paid something for being out there. You know what I mean? But, you know, of course you don't get the big payday. But if you is that who benefits? Because, I don't feel like there would be all of this outcry about it if it was just the little guy that was going to benefit from it. Somehow the owners must be benefiting from this conversation. That's my question to you, because I don't really understand why there's so much talk about this. I don't really see who benefits. I don't see how the players really benefit from that, but please tell me. Explain it to me.
Okay. I'll let Zach go. And then I have something to say about it after Zach.
All right. What was the question again about preseason?
We're talking about the preseason. Apparently there's a push to get it to be a shorter period. And my question is, what is the purpose to that, and who actually would benefit from that? Why does this continue to come up every year during the preseason?
Perfect. The reason it keeps coming up during preseason every year is because there's nothing else to talk about.
Oh,
that's
okay.
All it really is. If there's something else to talk about, it wouldn't come up. I think there's a combination of things that go on with the preseason. First, is preseason too long? I would say yeah. It's no. These guys come in fabulous shape. So it's no reason to have four preseason games. Now, from a NFL standpoint, I guess if you're talking about GMs or coaches, what they're going to tell you is, well, we need all this time to evaluate guys and decide who's going to make the roster and all this other stuff. And my argument to that is, y'all can get 3 years, even 4 years, to evaluate players in college, and y'all still screw it up. So whether you got five, if we gave you 90 days, if we gave you half a year, you're still going to miss on guys, and you're still going to find some guys in the cracks. So that part is irrelevant. From the owner standpoint, which is sad, they charge fans to come watch these games. And then, of course, they get money for these games being on TV. And with as much money as the NFL makes, and who am I to tell a rich guy not to do something to make money, because that's how they make their money. But you would think they would have preseason games for free. And worst case, all the fans got to do is pay for concessions. But I would love to see, take it down to three games. Your people only play three games anyway. So play your starters in game two. And in game three or whatever, you get the backups in. Now, their thing would be is they want to add to the regular season. But I don't think you need to add to the regular season. Put another bye week in the regular season. So when these guys are beating up on each other, they got 2 weeks during the season somewhere in there spaced out where they can get healthy and fans like us can see good football. They do need preseason so they can work some kinks out of and get the offense and defense together and really be a fine-tuned machine when people are really paying to see the game. But you don't necessarily need four, and they probably could go down to two, but I wouldn't want to see the regular season extended just because you're taking preseason games away. So a lot of that is the money factor. As far as injuries, football is a collision sport. Whether you play preseason, whether you play the regular season, whether you play postseason, whether you go in the backyard, when you got big guys that do a lot of weightlifting and move at a high rate of speed, somebody's going to get hurt. That's just how it is. Somebody's going to get injured. Jordy Nelson, nobody hit him. He jumped up to get the ball, came down, tried to cut or whatever, and he's on the ground. Todd Gurley with St. Louis, a different sport, but when he ran the ball last year for Georgia, I want to say he didn't get hit by anybody on that play. He just ACL blew out. That just happened. But as long as football is a contact sport, people are going to get hurt. And people get hurt in sports that ain't necessarily contact sport. So we don't have anything else to talk about right now. And that's why this preseason thing is such a big deal. It really is, because I don't watch preseason. Tyrone, he likes to watch the preseason so he can try and get something from it. I don't think you get much out of it because they run vanilla defenses, vanilla offenses, so you don't really know what's going to happen because nobody wants to give away their game plans because it's like government secrets. And if somebody finds out what you're doing, you know, the world is going to end or whatever. So it's just something to talk about. No big deal.
Well, I think that the reason why it's a topic is because it's just we're in a world where we react to everything. And so if you see a player go down, the first thing you say is, oh, it's because they played in the preseason. Man, see, if they didn't put player X, Y, Z in the game, he would have never got hurt. Well, as you all stated, you can't hide from injuries. It's going to happen, whether it's contact or non-contact. It's just going to happen. It's a part of the sport. It's a part of sports, period. You know, there's players that get injured just at home washing dishes. So it can happen at any time. I don't think that's the real true issue. I think the real issue is that the prices for preseason games across the board is just ridiculous. It's like, why charge fans to attend a game where the teams already don't care, you know, who wins or loses the game? They just want to evaluate players, you know, on the field. So how about you cut the preseason down to 2 games? If you don't want to, you know, scale back on your ticket prices, at least scale back on the games. Give each team a home and a away game. That way that's balanced across the board. And then you may be able to, and even if you don't add into the regular season, you can use maybe 2 what I would call like ghost games where you just have all the players that you need to evaluate play, but you don't charge the fans to come see it. You know, it could be held at a, you know, like maybe a neutral site, maybe at a city that doesn't have an NFL team or something like that. And you play, you know, you play a game there with your 3rd and 4th string players. So you can get an extensive look at those guys. Because for the most part, you're not putting your, you know, the 1st string against the 4th string in exhibition play anyway. So, you know, that would be, you know, my suggestion of a solution to that. Who benefits? Well, everybody outside the fans benefit. You know, the owners will benefit because they are making money. They're, you know, parking and concession and just overall sales and TV deals and all that good stuff.
Well,
they're making, they're rolling
going
in
from 4 games to 2.
Well, what I'm saying now is that they're benefiting off of the process now. They're benefiting now because of these games. These are 2 additional home games that are basically just like 2 additional regular season games. Because even the season ticket holders, when you buy your season tickets for a particular team, it includes those 2 home games, you know, as part of your bill. So they're raking it in, and your starter comes in and plays like 2 possessions, you know, gets 2 drives and out the game. So to me, that's just, you know, that's just a waste. That's just a fraud. But again, going to the coaches and the players, of course, they need to be evaluated. They need to have some quote unquote game action. But I don't think it takes 4 games to do that. you can do two games that mirror the regular season, because I understand that you want to have the, you know, get used to the travel, get used to showing up at the stadium, playing, you know, anything that can go wrong throughout that process, you can fix it before the regular season, you know, your travel plans, et cetera. So now you're in a flow. But other than that, I say cut it back two games and have two, what we call, I'll call two ghost games and go from there. The next thing that we need to discuss, the next topic, and Lacey, you can lead this off and give us all an overview of Chris Carter and the comments that he made to rookies. That was very intriguing to me, and just give the fans an overview of that situation.
I looked at the video that they were talking about. Well, I looked at the portion of the video that had the offensive comments attached to it, and this was Chris Carter and Warren Sapp were apparently at the symposium for rookies
okay.
In 2014. And they were
okay.
They were talking to these young men, and Warren Sapp was there, you know, he wasn't at the forefront. He was kind of sitting by, and Chris Carter was talking to the young men, and I understood why he said what he did. It's just what he said was so offensive that, you know, it's hard to understand. But he told these young men, you know, he was kind of like joking. I think he was really trying to like kind of get down to the level where they would understand what he was talking about. He's like, you know, when you're going out, you're hanging out, and some, you know, he was like, somebody's got to be the driver, you know, basically talking about being responsible about that. But he was saying, you know, you're going to have this basically an entourage running around with you. But the important thing to remember is that you can't go down for anything. You know, they have to
mm-hmm.
protect you. If these people are part of your entourage, if these people are part of the crew that you run around with, they have to protect you. He didn't say it, but it's kind of understood that, you know, you're basically paying for everything. The least they could do is do that. And he said somebody's got to kind of be assigned in your entourage to be the designated driver, to take care of, you know, who's going to actually pull out the card and pay the bills, that kind of thing. And somebody's
mm-hmm.
got to be assigned to be the fall guy. He said,
wow.
Let's face it, you guys are not always going to do the right thing. You know, so when something goes down, there's got to be somebody that's assigned to take the heat. And because your name can't be in the newspaper, your name can't be involved. So this person has to come out there and go down for it. It's like, yeah, you know, he's got to be ready to go to jail. Yeah, we'll bail you out, we'll get you out of it, but you got to be ready to take a bullet, basically, he's saying this to a bunch of rookies. He was saying it in such a way. He was like, I'm just talking to you man to man. I'm just talking about the reality of how what goes on when you become a member of this particular club, and you know you're wealthy and you got all of these hangers on. You got to have the kind of crew that you can trust. It's really kind of what he was trying to say.
Right.
Instead of saying, you know, every man, you know, you're responsible for your actions and all that kind of stuff, which is the politically correct thing to say. What he's saying is, out of this entourage that you have, somebody's got to be assigned to be the fall guy. And you know, I really understand what he meant. I really understand where he was coming from. He's not talking about, like, for murder. You know, Aaron Hernandez didn't get a, you know, nobody in his entourage or whatever was willing to go down like that. But who is it? I think it's this rapper, I think, that goes down to Mexico, and they claim that, was it Nelly? He came back he had some kind of a bus or a motorhome type of thing, and he got to the border and they found weed, and it,
I think
was
that was
guy.
Nelly.
Huh?
Was it Nelly or T.I.?
It was one of them. I think it was Nelly, but it might have been T.I. But anyway, they went down to Mexico, and so one guy said, okay, it's my marijuana, so he ended up going to jail. That's the kind of thing that he's talking about. When, you know, there's going to be stuff that's going on. He's not talking about, like, major crimes, but, you know, it's just unfortunate. He was kind of saying this in a joking manner, and it kind of wasn't. He's basically saying these people really have to have your back, and that's what he meant. But, you know, unfortunately what he said was leaked, and the video, you know, he's saying it, but at no point while he's saying it does he say, you know, I'm just kidding, you know, I'm exaggerating to prove a point. No, there was none of that. He came across as being very serious about it. And that is what has got the media in a frenzy. And kind of like Zach said, it's just a slow news week, you know, but It is a very bad message, and young people who are, you know, very, very wealthy, and they have all these you know, you can't just you can't do it. So,
well, do your dirt and have somebody cover it for you.
It seems to me that it has more to do with, like, you know, illegal substances than anything else. You know you're not going to be the one driving. If there's a DUI, you know, somebody else is going to be driving. Even if you're all drunk, you're not driving. This guy's driving, so that if you get stopped, he may have to go to jail. You're going to have to bail him out. It's that kind of thing. It's about protection. It's about people making sure you surround yourself with people who will have your back.
But it's just
a very unfortunate turn of events where he said it. And apparently at the time that he said it, you know, he got a little pushback on it, but that video was still out there, so.
You know what? I would love to see the facial expression Warren Sapp at the time that statement was
Warren
made.
Warren Sapp was like, he was fine with it. He was fine with it. This lets you know this is really how they roll.
Well, it sounds like they should have had their own rookie symposium, you know, at another date and another location.
Well,
you know, maybe call it keeping it real or something like that.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, Lacey.
This is not the first time that they have expressed a sentiment like that. Maybe it's the only time it was on tape. Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't believe it for a moment that was the first time he said that. So.
Or the last. What are your thoughts, Zach?
Well, he's done now.
Well, I would just say that I'm disappointed in Chris Carter, and I was embarrassed by what he said.
Wow.
Wow.
Because I can't believe he fucking apologized for what he said, because what he said was the actual truth. Everything he said was true. And he apologized. Because some corporate jerk at ESPN said, "Hey man, you gotta apologize because you can't say such and such such such." Fall guys are a part of society.
No.
It just is. It's been around since the beginning of time. The person up at the top is Jerry Jones. Ain't fired himself. The Cowboys had been bad for a long time. The Raiders, when Al Davis was there, had been bad for a long time. The Redskins, with Daniel Snyder, been bad for a long time. And you know what? They ain't been fired yet. You know why? Because they ain't going to get fired. They're going to put the blame on somebody else. It's just what happened.
Oh.
But now, once again, we're hearing this PC, whatever, and for whatever reason, the NFL has become like, I don't know, the NFL helps shape society now. I mean, they're giving us our doctors. They're helping us, you know, with technology for the future and mm-hmm. helping us with politics or whatever, because we've forgotten that these guys play football. They crash into each other and then get up and come out and crash into each other another play. They football players. They not shaping society. But for whatever reason, we want them to shape society. Domestic violence. We want them to fix our domestic violence issues. We want them to fix our criminal issues or whatever.
We want them to be civilized.
They football players. Well, what do you expect from people that go out and run into each other full speed and then get up again and run into each other full speed? When Floyd Mayweather talks, I'm not looking for him to talk to me or to get a message from him like I would get from the president.
Or me. Or me, right.
Or who?
Or read when you're talking about Floyd Mayweather.
Hey, there you go. I got a different expectation from him than I have for the president or whoever else you want to say that would be in a position of power and influence. He's a boxer. Chris Carter is a retired wide receiver. And he was talking to dudes that were coming in. And guess what? That's what happens in football. It does. And I'm going to go with what Lacey said. He wasn't saying that if you go out there and murder someone, that you need to have someone take the fall for you. And I guess even if you want to go with the Vic thing, hey, if you're dog fighting, you don't need to have someone take a wasn't face. But then you got Plastico Birds coming out saying, I'm glad my son went in there to hear this message. And then Carl
Plastico Birds, yeah, I saw
that.
Used
to play for the, and Carl Banks, he used to play with the Giants. Is like, oh, I can't believe. But whatever, man. I'm not trying to hear what these dudes said because them the same dudes, and Plaxico got caught. Carl Banks was out of the club frolicking with some female when he was a young boy doing something. Or he's the same dude that knew that LT was doing drugs or messing with prostitutes. And you know what he did? Not anything. He didn't take a moral stand. So you know what, LT? You shouldn't be doing this. You're setting a bad example for everyone else. He went along with it because it was part of the culture. And it's the same thing with this. If these guys go out to a bar and somebody runs up on, I don't know, we'll go with Jameis Winston, especially since Winston's been in the paper. Okay, one of his buddies needs to knock out this guy that ran up on Jameis Winston. Or if Jameis Winston hits this gal, whatever, one of them needs to take the blame so Jameis Winston doesn't have to be in trouble. Because if none of them can do that, then they don't need to hang around Jameis Winston. Because he's going to be providing them with all the money and all the whatever. So what does he need them for if he's got to provide everything and then he gets in trouble? Chris Carter said what was right. The NFL, look, plain and simple. Look at Roger Goodell. He's the fall guy. Steve Bisciotti, and I'm a Ravens fan, so I can say it. Steve Bisciotti, when the thing happened with Ray Rice, called up Goodell and said, hey, man, I got Ray and Janae here. This is what they told me what happened. Hey, can we keep this to two games, and it's not a big deal, whatever? And they probably saw the tape. It's probably a whole bunch of people that saw the tape, and they didn't think it was ever going to come out because none of this had been an issue. And then what happened? Somehow, some way, the tape gets out, and it becomes a big issue. And guess who's got to take the fall for it? Goodell does. Why? Because he's the commissioner. So he's going to take the blame. But all of that was set up to facilitate Ray Rice being able to come back. If you want to go with, where's another situation where we can say somebody was a fault? Look at Brady. I mean, to a degree, I believe the New England Patriots wanted Brady to take the fall for this. Because they might have all been on it, or at least Belichick. They might have all been in on it.
Yeah, Belichick.
Belichick has been in trouble in the past. They were kind of like, you know, Tom, you got to do us a solid. You ain't ever been in no trouble. And you're just going to say, hey, you didn't know or whatever. And somehow maybe Brady screwed it up. Or maybe Brady said, you know what, I'm not going to take this. Even though I was doing it and it was against the rule, I'm not going to take this. They ain't got nothing. I'm going to fight it. Because what happened, the owner backed off. Belichick was quick to say it wasn't me. And now Tom Brady there. And Tom Brady don't want to take the fall for it. But he was set up to be the fall guy. And if he had been the fall guy, he probably would have got a fine and could have gone on about it.
Well, because they probably figured that Brady's not going to get in any trouble, you know.
Exactly. Slap on the wrist and we go on. Whereas if it's Belichick, Belichick might be gone for a year.
And now, you know what Chris Carter's problem is? He didn't take his own advice. Who's his fall guy?
Well, no. The problem is, like we talked about with Hulk Hogan, some shows back is, cameras everywhere now. So now you got somebody taking a camera or something. There should be a private moment. There should be, this is supposed to be a brotherhood. This ain't supposed to be going out so everybody can see. And then you got a guy, Chris Borland, and what does he do? He ain't in the NFL anymore. And he wants to talk about some stuff that happened in a private setting. So he broke guy code because he wasn't supposed to talk about
that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did the NFL do? they made sure that Chris Carter would be their fall guy because they were perfectly happy with him saying it. And when it came out, they made sure the video was available so they could distance themselves from it. But they didn't distance themselves from it when Chris Carter said it. Nobody said anything about it. So fall guys are a part of society. And Chris Carter, shame on you for not being the dude that I thought you was, that you stood by your ground and you said, fuck no, I'm not apologizing. I said this, and it's what I meant.
Uh-huh.
Instead, you want to cowtail and back down. Like, and who was Samuel Jackson's character in Django? He did like he was working for Mr. Candy, and he's going to back down when he was right.
Well, that's refreshing. But I will stand by. But I feel that Chris Carter, that should have been private. He should have figured out a way to make that private. That is not something that you can just put out there. You just can't do it.
Well, he probably it's guy code. When you do things with a group of guys, and I don't know if girls have the same thing, but you have guy code.
Oh, we do.
You not some stuff out. That's just like what they say about the locker room in the NFL. Or I guess in any league, you keep stuff within the family. Like, we should know what's going on in your household. You should know what's going on in our household.
Right.
And Chris Borland let the cat out of the bag.
He broke code.
He sure did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of break, it is now time for us to take a break. This was a very interesting topic, Chris Carter and you know, hopefully there's a lesson learned. It seems like he's able to keep his job. I saw him last night on NFL Countdown. So, to Zach's dismay, Chris Carter did apologize, and looks like he's going to be employed a little bit longer.
He should, yeah.
With ESPN. Well, fans, hold on to your seats, and we will be right back. I promise. And we're back. On this day in sports history.
It better be better than yesterday.
Well, it gets better every day. On August 25th, 1960, Zach Lacey.
I'm ready, man. I am ready.
Do you all remember the AFL?
No.
Have you heard of the AFL?
Yes,
no.
I have, and I remember it.
Well, if you're a Jets fan, you definitely know that. And so, Lacey, I know you remember the AFL with the
not
Jets,
really.
Chargers. Jets, Chargers, Texans, Chiefs, teams like that.
I heard about it.
And the Raiders as well, I believe. You know, Al Davis, rest his soul. However, they began placing players' names on the back of jerseys.
Mm.
So that was an innovative, you know, move there by the AFL. Kind of reminds me of the ABA, where the ABA, you know, introduced the slam dunk contest. They also had the 3-point line, things like that, in which the NBA started following suit. So, you know, kudos to the AFL for being innovative there with having those player names on back of jerseys. Those are things that we take for granted when we're watching games on TV or live in person. Also on this day, in 1970, a famous basketball player was born. Would you all like to take one guess?
You said 1970?
Yes.
Let me see. That's probably not enough years.
What was the question?
Said famous basketball player. He said 1970.
Yeah, there's a lot of famous basketball players. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you can just take a stab at one.
You could throw out 30 names and be wrong. You could throw out 300 names and be wrong.
You know, honestly, I can't think of anybody that's 45, 46 ish that I could throw out. You know, because everybody.
I don't know. Michael Jordan. I don't know.
Jordan's 50-something, so he's probably in the 60s.
That's okay. I'll do this for you guys. I'll throw a lifeline out there for you. He's a famous role player.
You really do feel like you're doing us a favor, huh?
Famous role player. Derek Fisher?
Hey, that's not a bad guess.
That's a terrible guess.
That's a famous role player. He was born in the early 70s. But this player is Robert Horry. Today is Robert Horry's birthday.
Really? You couldn't throw us a bone like and say Houston or something?
Hey, that was a...
Really? Famous role player? Seriously?
But you know what?
Bill Bradley?
But now that he said that, I should have thought of that.
Why?
That makes good sense. Because Horry is in that age range. He's...
So a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, and Horry also, famous for coming off the bench.
If you would have said Houston.
He's
famous being a role player, yeah.
He's a premier role guy.
Yeah, and, Lacey, I know you remember the series with the Rockets and Knicks. Robert had a little bit to do there. You know, he contributed a little bit there, along with the last one.
This is 2 days in a row. You're needling me. Yes. We know that my husband is from Houston and I'm from New York. We had some really big blowouts back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good time.
I wish I was a fly on the wall there.
You
know what? No, I don't. Because flies get swatted. So
yes, they would have.
Yeah. So I take that back.
Mm-hmm.
But today was a great show. Nice topics, nice coverage. As usual, the panel, you guys were fabulous, did a great job.
Thank you.
But on behalf of Lacey Dawson and Zach, I'm Mr. 401, and we thank you for listening to our podcast, and we will see you next time. Have a great night.
Ciao.
Go Dawgs.